To start a show, folks, you have heard a famous number by a famous mandolin played by a famous mandolin artist, Tony Williamson. Hey,
hi, Bill. How's it going?
Boy, I wish you could start my show every week with that that kind of music. Tony is world famous. I mean, there's so much to say about him, but he's here to talk about himself a little bit and to play a few more numbers on his mandolin, which was built in
1924. This mandolin was built in Kalamazoo, Michigan in 1924, designed by the great acoustic engineer Lloyd Lohr.
Okay. Did he do others, or what other kinds of instruments did he play? Did he manufacture?
There were about 200 of these mandolins and just a few mandolas, mandocellos, and guitars.
So these are obviously runoffs, mandocellos.
Mandocello is a mandolin family instrument that's tuned in the same pitch as a violoncello.
It sits on the ground with a...
Yeah, like in the symphony.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then the mandolas, like the violin dola, the viola.
Well, what's the history of this of the instrument mandolin?
Mandolin goes back to Europe in the age of the troubadours. The lute was the grandfather of the mandolin, you might say.
Okay.
It was derived and perfected in Italy in the 17th and 18th centuries. It was famous for the instrument of the street musician.
Okay.
In fact, a lot of Italian music still has mandolin in it. You've heard it, I'm sure.
Okay. I guess we've all heard that.
I guess. Ready for some pizza now?
Right. So, okay, so that's the history of it. And then how do string instruments, that people, I know how pianos developed, but how does all these different stringed, how does one evolve from another?
That's an interesting question. And there's a lot, too. The answer is pretty long, but if you take it all the way back to some of the Arabic instruments, the first stringed instruments that came into Europe came in through Spain.
Oh, is that right?
And from that, the lute was derived. And I think that the lute became associated with the troubadour, a man who traveled from town to town doing his serenade and singing his songs for the benefit of the young ladies, you might say.
Okay, like the Music Man.
And so, therefore, the idea of a smaller instrument might come in handy for such a man, because there may be some husbands and fathers who might get after him.
Yeah,
so
to protect himself.
If he needs, well, leave town in a hurry.
Yeah.
So a mandolin you can grab and leave, and a lute is a great big thing. So.
Okay, yeah. So that's the history, and that's a little bit of the culture you're giving us.
Yeah, and a little fun.
But how does that, you know, I always think of stringed instruments as things that are come from the Appalachian world in this country, and those kind of instruments that you hear playing banjos and guitars. How do they involve? Do they evolve separately?
When you look at the migration from Africa and Europe into the United States, you trace a migration of musical instruments as well. The violin, which,
well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, which came into the Scottish Isles and became very popular, of course, came over to cities like Chicago and New York, and they came down into the South and became instruments of the mountaineers, whereas the banjo came from Africa.
Oh, is that right?
And landed here with the slaves and became a part of that Southern tradition. And when the violin, now called the fiddle, met up with the banjo, why, a marriage was born that became Appalachian music.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we've had a lot of that on this station. Becky comes Becky Johnson every Wednesday, I guess it is, for a couple of hours. And
yeah.
I've seen her. She's been here sometimes on Saturday morning taking Rocco's place. And in fact, there's a big bluegrass event coming up, isn't there?
That's correct, and I know Becky Johnson loves bluegrass. Hi, Becky. I love it, too. I grew up playing bluegrass. Every year, thanks to some wonderful folks down in Raleigh, William Lewis of Pinecone was very instrumental in bringing the International Bluegrass Music Association to Raleigh, and the last week of September, downtown Raleigh becomes a huge bluegrass festival.
Yeah.
I think last year there were over 1 million people attended.
Come on, really?
During the course of that week.
Uh-huh.
The streets are closed off. There's stages at every corner. There's a big concert at the Red Hat Amphitheater. There's programs in the convention center. The hotels are filled with pickers who pick all night long.
Well, while we're talking about bluegrass, why don't you give us a little?
Oh, sure.
By the way, he's playing with his straw hat on, folks. I guess that hat's part of your costume.
Summertime, a gentleman wears a straw hat,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah, I guess I should have. Okay.
Yeah.
Show. I mean, I watch this. His fingers are moving so fast. Fingers of his left hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
and
right.
Man, yeah. Oh man, that was that a classic bluegrass?
A very classic bluegrass song called Dusty Miller. A lot of people have done that one. Bill Monroe recorded it.
Becky knows Bill Monroe.
We love Bill Monroe. And it is a demanding song performance-wise. Bluegrass can be as difficult to play as just about any music you can imagine.
Well, was that a typical bluegrass, the speed and the... And
oh,
the,
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I just don't know this kind of music. And, you know, I listen to Beethoven and Brahms more.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But speaking of classics, now you're going to be playing opera.
Well, you know, I love opera. And I find this opportunity to be a part of the North Carolina Summer Opera Program really enticing. Helen Wong, the director, called me up and asked if I would do the mandolin part in Don Giovanni.
There is a mandolin part in Don Giovanni.
Mozart wrote a mandolin part in Don Giovanni that is pretty famous among mandolin players. Unfortunately, a lot of productions of this opera use a guitar or a pizzicato violin or even a piano to play that serenade, but it needs a mandolin. The maestro called for mandolino.
Okay.
So, and here's the catch. You know, we were talking earlier about the troubadour?
Yeah.
Well, that's what this opera is about. Don Giovanni, he considers himself quite a ladies' man.
Okay.
And he goes from town to town and gets in all kinds of trouble. But the really revealing thing at the beginning of Act One is demonstrated how he's able to entice all these young ladies. And he does so, yes, indeed, with his mandolin. So I am playing that part. When Helen called me and asked me about it, I asked a little bit about the performance, and she told me it was going to be in period costume.
Okay, so that was when, 1700s?
Yes, it's set in the 17th century. When she said it was going to be in period costumes, I just assumed that was going to be a real feather in my cap.
Okay, yeah. So you've never done it before?
Oh, yes, I have. I have done Don Giovanni before. In 1972... I got a call from Duke University.
1972.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. This is
you
quite
were
a while.
Just a youngster
ago.
Then.
I was, and I was literally fresh off the farm.
Okay. Playing instrument.
I was playing mandolin for sure. Now, here's the thing. I was given this part, but I didn't read music.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't read
music. Do you read music now?
Well, not enough to hurt my playing.
Okay. Okay.
So I went to see the director, Alan Page, I believe was his name, who was the music director.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah, that was a long time ago, but I remember that name.
Okay, we're talking about a long time ago.
I know. My wife was a dookie, I didn't live here then, but I've heard that name, Alan Page.
And sure enough, they're going to do Don Giovanni. So I go to... I guess I was the only mandolin player around who would tackle such a part.
Uh-huh,
he called my good buddy Jim Watson, and I think Jim recommended me. But I went over there and to audition, and he said, play me something classical. And so I played Dusty Miller.
Okay.
That tune, that bluegrass song I just played.
All right.
Well, I guess he had no other choice, so he gave me a big stack of music and sent me home.
None of which you could read?
Not a note. So on the way home, I went by the record bar. You remember those places?
Yeah.
Record bar where they sold these big...
Big platters?
Big platters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there was music on both sides.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to have a bunch of them.
So I went... I found a copy of Mozart's Greatest Hits, and sure enough, it had Don Giovanni on there. And I went back to my dorm room, and I was in school at the time, and I learned it. I learned it by ear. So I got
So you had the whole opera on the platter.
So I got to the first rehearsal, and he raises the baton, and I start playing. He says, "Stop! Stop! 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 No! 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 No!" I was playing it like a bluegrass song. It was.
Very classical.
So I had to change gears and be Mozart instead of Bill Monroe.
So you're going to be doing that again now.
Doing that this summer with the North Carolina Opera Series, Mozart's Don Giovanni. It's going to take place at the Bethel Christian Center. That's in North Durham. The tickets are only $15. It's a fantastic production. Shelley Livingston is the conductor. She's brilliant. Derek Grassi is going to play the part of Don Giovanni. And I have to admit, when I saw the costumes and I saw how much bigger his feather was than mine, I was kind of jealous.
I guess so.
But it's going to be quite a
All
wonderful
right.
production, and you can...
At least you'll have a costume.
Yeah, I will have the costume. But anyway, you can look up information on this at the website, www.ncsummeropera.org. ncsummeropera.org.
I'm writing that down.
Good.
And where's that going to be?
The Bethel Christian Center is a very nice center in North Durham. It's just on the other side of 85, and it has a wonderful auditorium there with great acoustics. That's on Rose of Sharon Road.
Oh, I know where that is. Yeah, I live near there.
Yeah, okay. The Christian Center.
Okay.
Where all those Rose of Sharons are.
All right. So when is that?
That's on August 8th and again on August the 11th.
Okay.
Yeah, 8 p.m. I'm sorry, 7 p.m. on August 8th. That's a Thursday. And 3 p.m. on Sunday, August 11th.
Okay, an evening and a matinee.
Right.
Okay, well, that'll cover a lot of people who can go.
We're pretty excited about this. It's going to be fabulous. So, and what an opportunity to see some.
Well, next year we'll probably see you in New York at the Metropolitan Opera House, being invited to do something up there.
I hope they move it up there. I think they should. It's a great story. I think that's the thing I like about Mozart's opera, especially this one. It has elements of comedy. It has has tragedy, but all in all, it's a great story of a man who just loved the ladies way too much.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a famous opera. I'm not an opera fan, but everybody's heard Don Giovanni at least once in their life.
Of course, exactly. So this is a good time to. Oh, and they're going to have, even though it's sung in Italian, which I love, by the way, Italian, such a musical language. They will have English subtitles on the screen.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. So you'll be able to follow the translation if you want to. It's a great story as well as great songs.
It might be a little awkward to try to follow the screen while I'm seeing live performance.
Well, that's true, but, you know, they have a screen right beside the stage, so you can choose to tune that out if you'd prefer. Or you can check into the screen to see what the lyric is.
So have you played with other groups? This is opera. Have you played with other classical or semi-classical or bluegrass groups in the history of your music world? Or mostly you play solo?
Well, no, Bill. I've been doing this for a good half a century, you know.
Yeah.
So I've played in a lot of different bands, a lot of different bluegrass bands. I've played with some of the bluegrass stars that are very famous.
Have you ever played on a continuing basis with a group, or you always?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. But nowadays, I am at the point in my career when I can pick and choose what I want to do, rather than being out on the road, which I've done plenty of, believe you me.
I'm sure you have, yeah.
And but rather than doing that thing where you're in a motorhome or a bus and you're going every night, I get to pick and choose. And that's why I get to do these cool things like the opera, and then the bluegrass show here in Raleigh is something I'm going to be doing, and then I'll be in Spain later this
year. So you're going to Spain. Where else are you going on this European tour?
In the past, I've touched down in Italy and France and Ireland and England. We're still putting it together, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
This is in the fall?
Yeah, in the fall of November.
So how about giving us a number that you might be playing in Spain?
On my solo tour, sure.
Yeah. Thank you. to sing along with that. We all know that one. So that's part of your repertoire for...
Sure. I do a solo show that touches on a lot of different music.
So what kind of a venue do you have in these European places?
Sometimes house concerts.
You're arranging these yourself, you told me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes.
You know people who set this up for you, or how do you do it?
Like I say, Bill, at this point in my career, I just answer the phone, and people ask me to come play.
Okay.
And sometimes it's a house concert, sometimes it's a small theater, sometimes it's a... like a bookstore or a music shop. So, you know, I just see what they have to offer, and then if I can do it, I'll say yes.
So do you make enough money on the trips like this to cover your expenses?
I do okay.
Do you?
I do okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. How many people have learned from you you have taught?
Well... I guess you know that last year I was awarded the North Carolina Heritage Award.
Okay, tell us about that.
And part of the award was based on mentorship, the fact that I have mentored so many young musicians, and over the years I've really set out to be open with people who come to me and want to ask questions about music, more than just where to put your fingers on the instrument, but how to compose, how to arrange things, and how to conduct yourself on stage as a gentleman or a young lady on stage. And I've always just given advice freely, and I was really overwhelmed with the outpouring of love from these young people that I had helped along the way, who made affidavits, some of which were read at
that
ceremony.
Oh, wow. Isn't that, that's really,
people,
brings tears to your eyes.
Yeah, I know people like Andrew Marlin. Chris Thiele had a wonderful, wonderful little piece that was read that he wrote about me.
Uh-huh.
That it did bring tears to my eyes. So I am very fortunate to have been involved with all these young people. And people say, so... You must have done a great job teaching these young people. And I say, no, they teach me. I learn from them.
Well, now, what do you mean by that?
You don't. It seems like every time I offer a leg up or offer a help musically and watch the look on this young person's face and hear what they play back for me,
mm-hmm.
and I see the gifts that they're bringing, Those gifts then enrich me, and sometimes I'll learn a little something too.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, that shows you the value of the purity of your teaching, not just the value, but the purity of your relating to these people. It's back and forth.
Of course, yeah. And it's, you know, it's really kind of a musical conversation that never ends.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My daughter teaches music up in New York State. She teaches violin. She teaches guitar, flute, and piano.
Yeah.
And she tells me about the relationships. These are students, kids.
Yeah, right.
High school and
right.
Junior high school kids. And she tells me about the feelings that she sometimes has with
mm-hmm.
these students. And
yeah.
I guess that's, if you're sensitive enough, you'll have that feeling.
Right, yeah. And if you let yourself open to the idea that everybody has something to bring to the table,
uh-huh.
then you might just learn something too.
Yeah,
the greatest bluegrass fiddle player of all time was a man named Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker?
Kenny Baker. Okay. And he was we're talking about back in the 60s and 70s.
Well, okay.
And I would follow him around, and we'd go to these festivals, and I loved Baker. He was an amazing guy. He was from the... Oh, yeah,
kid.
I was a kid, and he was sort of a crusty guy from the coal mines of eastern Kentucky,
uh-huh.
but he was just an incredible musician. And after the show was over and it was late at night and the festival grounds, all the amateurs would pop up and play it in their little group.
Sure, you know? Yeah, okay.
Okay, I would follow Baker around as he walked from group to group and stand there and listen. Then he'd go to the next one. And after about an hour of this, we're walking down the hill and I say, "Mr. Baker, I can't believe that a man as accomplished as you, you're the greatest player in the world. you're standing there listening to these amateurs. And he looked at me and he said, I can learn something from anybody in this park.
So is that Tony Williamson today?
You better believe it.
Okay, that's great. Well, we're going to interrupt the show just for a minute to tell you people that you are listening to Tony Williamson, the man of the month, the man of the year, as far as I'm concerned, and in the knowledge and exquisite talent of the mandolin world. You're listening to WCOM. This is your voice in the community. I know you got a lot of listeners out there, and we are supported by you people who are listening and others in the community who just like to listen. You can go to our website, wcomfm.org, and make a safe and secure donation, or you can come by here. We are attached to the front of the world-famous Art Center in Carrboro, North Carolina, and you can slip a check in an envelope under the door, and you'll get full credit because we are a nonprofit registered with the IRS, and every penny that we get as a gift from you folks out there is a tax write-off for yourself. So that's it. I'll tell you a little more as the show winds down about some of the people who underwrite this particular show, and the people who underwrite Time Out today are very special because they're hearing a conversation and a real concert from a man who we're all so pleased to know. He's been here several times at WCOM.
Oh, yeah, quite a few times over the course of the history of this station. I've shown up quite a few times, whenever you call me.
Okay, well, now, have you done other local stations? I guess you probably have. NPR and
Sure have, yeah. PAQ, NPR, Frank Stacio, wonderful show, The State of Things.
Yeah, he does a nice show, right?
I've done that a couple
of
times.
I've had him on my show as a guest.
Cool, isn't that cool? Yeah, yeah. I've always enjoyed going over there and being with Frank. WPTF in Raleigh, we used to do a lot of things over there, music things.
Is that right?
But I guess they mostly talk now.
Have you done television in the area?
In the area? Sure. I've done PBS. We did a Christmas show. We did a thing when the about the Heritage Awards.
Okay.
And yeah.
Was the Heritage Award done in a public event?
Oh, yeah. It was at the Fletcher Hall in downtown Raleigh.
Oh, in Raleigh, sure.
It was the award is sponsored by the North Carolina Department of Cultural Resources, and it is put on by the North Carolina Arts Council.
All right.
There's a wonderful North Carolina Arts Council in this state, and we're tremendously grateful to be supported by our governor, Roy Cooper. He really is a governor who has an attention toward the arts. Mm-hmm. And we had a reception at the governor's mansion and then a concert at Fletcher, and it was a really dynamite evening.
I guess so. Well, speaking of dynamite evenings, it's a dynamite afternoon, so I think it's time for something. What would you like to do now?
Want to mention some world music that I'm doing. I have been
world music.
Okay. I've been collaborating with a group of musicians who play the music of West Africa.
Wow. Well, you mentioned that in your email to me.
Yeah.
Senegal
It's spelled D-I-A-L-I, but it's pronounced Jelly.
Okay.
Jelly Sissoko is the world renowned kora player. Kora is an African instrument that is a
stringed instrument?
Yeah, it's a stringed instrument. It's the simplest way to think about it is it's an African harp.
Okay.
It's made from a gourd with a skin on it, but there's 22 strings attached to a neck.
Is it standing on the floor?
He can stand it on the floor. He can hold it in his lap.
Or you can hold it in
flies.
Your lap. Okay.
And when we get together, it's an amazing conversation of the East and the West playing together. So think about this. The name of the band is Karaba, and Karaba is Senegal for the great peace.
Okay.
And that's the message that we have here. In the lyrics, which are all in Senegalese, some of the lyrics say, love your family, love your neighbor, love your neighbor's neighbor, love your neighbor's neighbor's neighbor.
Kind of biblical.
And then you'll have a great peace.
Oh, wow.
It's a wonderful thing. So, Karaba.
Where have you played with these folks?
We have done quite a few things. We did the Botanical Gardens in Kernersville most recently. We've done the Shikori Hills Festival. We've done, we did a thing at the Cat's Cradle. And then next fall, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to announce this, but we're going to be a part of a very important series next spring. I don't think the word has been put out yet.
Okay.
But just look for Karaba, and when we play together, it's
do you always nice. Do they always play with you, or they go off on their own?
Oh, they definitely go off on their own. Yeah, I just come together with them on special occasions, you know, depending on these guys work a lot. I mean, they travel and play a lot. So I will meet them on special occasions, and it's always
they are they basically you in the United States, or they do the world?
Right now, Jelly is in Senegal, and the guitar player is in Finland. So
okay. So they move around.
They move around, but you can see some of the music that I collaborate with this band on my website at mandolincentral.com.
Oh, yeah, Mandolin Central. I don't have that on your note here.
Mandolincentral.com is my website. You can go there and download YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I see that, Mandolin Central.
And,
okay.
And see all kinds of music from all my different things.
Okay.
So let's just think about a little world music right now. What do
okay.
you say?
Audience just arrived. Rocco stopped by, and Rob Westerman, who does the show previous to mine, The Boy Who Would Have Loved You, is here in the studio. Rocco has the mic on, and Rob is sitting quietly in the corner. But that's some. Now, you know, sitting here is great for me, Rocco. I can just watch his fingers. I mean, I've never seen you. I know, Rob, I know you play stringed instruments, but I've never. You see his fingers, and the way you your head is over that instrument. It's just like you're having a prayer service with your music.
And, I approach music in a very spiritual manner. It is a very spiritual thing for me to be connected with my instrument and my fellow musicians and my audience.
When you played in that church I attended a couple of weeks ago, you were playing you played at the end of the service a special instrumental music. I didn't get the name of it. What was that you played? It was like they play a postlude usually at the end of a church service, and I don't know what you were playing.
I did Old Time Religion.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that belongs in a good.
Give me that Old Time Religion. I thought that was a good way to end the service.
Okay.
Yeah.
Building. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you. And Tony, it's great to see you again. I remember when you first came to WCOM, we were on the air maybe 2 years at the most, at the most three, at the original studio, and you did the same thing. I cannot remember the host of the show, but I think you were talking about Django Reinhardt and music.
Yeah. Gypsy jazz.
Yeah,
they
the
call
gypsy
it now.
Jazz.
And Django Reinhardt and Stephan Grappelli.
What kind of music?
My favorites. They're just so good. And in fact, there's a wonderful band right here in Chapel Hill, and I played with them just last week, and we're talking about collaborating. They're called the Onyx Boys, and they play the music of Django Reinhardt. So
is Django Reinhardt a classic a type of music or a person? Or?
It's a person. He was a gypsy who lived in Paris in the 1920s and invented a whole style of music based on American popular music, but with influences of gypsy music and French music. And he partnered with one of the greatest violinists in the world, Stephan Grappelli.
Uh-huh.
And their music was legendary then. It was very popular then, and now it's making a complete comeback.
Bill, I have played some of their music on the Music Hall show.
Do you have something that you could play right now of that type of music?
Of course.
Of course.
And he's playing this without the music in front of him.
Well, he doesn't read music.
He's just playing it.
He told me back in the early part of the show he doesn't read. Do you read music at all nowadays as you get to be old?
Like I say, not enough to hurt my play.
Okay, yeah. Rob, do you read music?
I took music 101.
Oh, okay. Rob's way over the other side of the room. We don't hear much from him. But
I have a request. Can you play a Russian piece?
Sure. What's he going to play? What did you ask for? took you took your challenge, Rob.
Had to get faster and faster, right? Oh, now, yeah. Question is, can you do the Russian dance to that where you kneel down? And
that's very important. You know, music and dance are so closely connected.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope to get into this in Spain. The flamenco is probably one of the greatest expressions of the connection between a musician and a dancer. So I can't wait to learn about that.
Now, do you ever have to practice?
Oh, I play every day. I start every day.
Do you live by yourself at the farm?
Oh, no. No, I have a farm with a beautiful wife, Andrea. And, in fact, we'll close out with a little song I wrote for her if you want me to.
Well, not quite.
When we get there. But yeah, okay. I live there and take care of the farm. But every morning I have my coffee, have my fresh duck eggs from the barn, and then I head to my studio and I play the mandolin. That's how I start every day of my life.
I think that's a sacred approach to humanity, isn't it?
It is.
It's very sacred.
And it gives me a whole, you know, like people who get up and the first thing they do is they check their email and then they start worrying about whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Business, taxes, you know. No.
Well, you never had to get up and go to work.
Well, it's true. I've never even been to a job interview. I have no idea what that is.
Never been to a music audition either, I don't imagine.
Are you going to Spain?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I don't think Rob heard your itinerary.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be in Spain in November in Barcelona and Andalusia and Granada. And that's where I hope to pick up some flamenco.
It sounds great to me. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting how you arrange these things because you have your friends all over the world and you just pick up the phone and you say, I'm coming to Barcelona, find me a venue and I'll be there.
That's exactly. And it's easier than ever now with the Facebook and the way the, you know, World Wide Web connects us all. You know, I used to write letters to people and organize things. Now it's even easier. So and I love it when I say I'm coming and then somebody says, well, there's a great house concert, but we've got something at the theater, and I'm like, okay, well, I can do this and this and this.
Well, so you come to this, let's say Barcelona, and you're coming, and they're arranging the places you're going to play. Somebody has to arrange this. You can't do it all from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Oh, no. I depend on a lot of people. It takes a village. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And in Italy, I have so many great friends. Martino Coppo is wonderful mandolin player. In
where's that?
In Genova.
Okay.
And on the Italian Riviera. Uh-huh. And I go over there and play. He's coming over here. In fact, he'll be here for the bluegrass thing this fall. I can't wait to see my Italian buddies. We have such a good time. We play music and we eat great food and drink great wine and just play all night. You know, after the concert's done, we still play.
Are you associated with Nashville at all, too? Country music?
With country music? Yeah. I've done a lot of stuff, you know, recording, especially back, you know, when I was, you know, in the 70s and, say, the first part of the 80s, I was a touring musician, and I did a lot of session work in Nashville. I worked with a lot of people, Ricky Skaggs, Jerry Douglas. I was in the Bluegrass Alliance, which was Vince Gill's first band. And currently I'm not so much into Nashville. It's just there's just not a lot there for me. I'm looking.
It's changed a lot, I guess.
Yeah. It's changed a lot. I mean, it's fun to go there, and but the music has moved out of town, except for it's very commercial. It's music designed to make money, and I'm, you know, money is great, but I'm sort of looking towards something a little different in my
world. Rob's
my
daughter is in Nashville as a musician.
She's a musical theater and theater person, a singer.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, very cool. So, yeah.
Have you talked about your instrument with Bill?
We did touch on it.
You missed part of that.
Yeah, we talked about this.
We're more interested in hearing. We only got a little more time, so you're going to have the music you wrote for your wife. But before that, give us something else for a few minutes.
Okay. Well, we're talking about Italy.
Yeah, sure. We love Italian stuff. I should have brought my wine.
Oh, yeah. A little Chianti and some pasta.
Yeah. Rob, does that sound Italian enough for you?
Yeah. I had to sing that in Italian in seminar as a student at Cal Poly. I don't remember it all now.
Really?
You should have sung along with him.
But you have to come to Carbro in Pittsburgh to hear that, because I lived in Italy 2012 to 2014, and you can't find music like that there very much. No, they play American 50s rock all the time in the stores.
Yeah.
You have to come to Carbro or Pittsburgh to hear the real Italian music and to get the better Italian food, I think, too.
Before we sign off, I want to thank a few people for this show, and we'll hear another song from Tony, but I'd like to thank MidCap Advisors. They're a financial company in New York City who helps support this show. I'd like to thank Tim Hux. Tim Hux is a financial advisor also. He has a company called Rising Tide, and he will invest your money for you, hopefully rising with the tide. And there's a place for you to invest, Tony. And I'd like to thank Mike Cotter. Now, Mike Cotter will be with us next week. Mike Cotter is a retired ambassador. He lives not too far from here. He's been on the show probably about 20 times. And next week, we're going to be honoring Mike for his service to WCOM. So those of you who want to meet Mike, come and say hello. And otherwise, be sure to listen. And I'd also like to thank the Ryan Research Center. The Ryan Research Center is an organization in Durham studying the continuation of parapsychology and consciousness in the context of the paranormal and exceptional experiences. You can go to their website, www.ryan.org, and learn about the Ryan Research Center. And those are the people who underwrite my show. And before we hear your song, do you have something, Rob?
I thought you were going to say, welcome back, Mike Cotter, like the old TV show, welcome back.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, okay. So, listen, you are unbelievable. I feel so fortunate that you were able to come to be with us today.
Well, I'm fortunate to be here. It's been a while since I've been on WCOM, but anytime, just give me a call and I'll come by.
Okay, so let's hear your song.
Okay, this is a song about living in the country. My wife, she is an MD, PhD, world-famous doctor, author, and a few years ago, about 5 years ago, we were married, and she moved to the farm, and she's taken to it like a duck to
water.
What's
her name?
Her name is Andrea Dayrup. D-E-Y-R-U-P, Dr. Andrea Dayrup. She's currently the course director of pathology at Duke University.
Okay, so my wife probably knows her.
But she's also a farm girl, and I wrote this song, which is pretty much autobiographical.
She going with you on your trip?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She goes on the scenic tours. I went to Southern Ohio, and she had no interest. But Spain, you better believe it.
Okay.
Here we go. It's called Back to the Country. A place back in the woods a little ways from town. And I will build me a cabin, a little log cabin, with a front porch and a screen door and gardens all around. I'm growing tired of this big city life, where the drivers are crazy and the streets are so wild. I'm going back to the country, beautiful country. I will find some peace for the rest of my day. sweetheart. She'll wear a pair of overalls with holes in the knee. And she will love our garden, working in the garden with maters, taters, corn and beans, and a hive for the honeybees. I've spent my last night in these dingy old bars. How in the world can you woo a gal if you can't even see the stars? I'm going back to the country, beautiful country, and I will find some peace for the rest of my life. I'll pick it on the front porch when the sun goes down. And neighbors will come calling, shooting stars are falling, and goons dancing, dancing all around. A garden of peace I surely will find back in the country. If only in my mind I'm going back to the country, beautiful country, and I will find some peace for the rest of my day.
Wow. What a way to end this show. And stay tuned for the Bachelor Pad, folks. That's Bill Hendrickson signing off. And had a great show with you, Tony. You're a charmer.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks so much.